This is Dr. Michael Bricky with Ageless Lifestyles Radio, cutting-edge thinking for being youthful at every age. On each program, I interview experts on what it takes to live longer, healthier, and happier. Our program takes a holistic approach in addressing anti-aging psychology, medicine, alternative medicine, fitness, nutrition, and wellness. Our emphasis is on innovative thinking and practices that have solid data and results. Been trying to lose 20 pounds and just can't seem to do it. You tried, but sooner or later you have a rough day and something takes over your body and shovels in the Haagen-Dazs. You wanted to develop your mind and you bought a dozen books and there's that stack of them gathering dust. In short, your good intentions aren't materializing. Help! Well, just as personal trainers help people define and achieve their fitness goals, health coaches help people set goals and achieve their goals. Today, we'll explore the world of personal coaching with an emphasis on health coaching. Our guest, Judith Gilchrist, does health and wellness coaching and is a key trainer with Hilton Johnson Health Coaching. By learning what coaches do, you may find you don't need a nanny and you can coach yourself. If you decide you do need a coach, today's program will make sure you don't settle for whatever coach happened to make a speech at your Rotary Club, but carefully select a coach to meet and assess what you need and to make sure the coaching is working. Judith, welcome.
Thank you very much, Dr. Bricky. I'm happy to be here.
Boy, this coaching is kind of a crazy world. It seems like everyone's hanging out their shingles saying they're a coach. As I gave it some thought, I thought people really need to start with what the outcome is that they want from coaching. How do I want to be different as a result of the coaching? Now, certainly if somebody comes to you, Judith, and says, I just can't get that last 20 pounds off, you're going to say, hey, you're in the right place.
Absolutely, they're in the right place with the health coach. The whole process is set up to help people succeed in what their goals are.
Okay, let me give you a couple other scenarios. Let's say someone comes to you and says, I just started my business a year ago. I'm an entrepreneur. It hasn't made a profit yet. I really need some help in getting this business to make some money.
Well, that doesn't fit the health coaching criteria. However, there are business coaches out there that specialize particularly in those areas, and it's certainly worth investigating and looking into that as well. I certainly recommend that people do a little bit of shopping when they're looking for a coach, whether it be a health coach, a business coach, a lifestyle coach. Talk to the person a little bit and find out if you're a match with that coach. Just because they do business coaching, your personalities don't always match. So it's worth shopping around and finding the person that fits you.
So there are a lot of areas of coaching where you need some expertise in it. If you want to do better marketing or better sales calls or something technical.
Yes, there are a variety of coaching methodologies out there. I would say health coaching is one of the newest that has really come to the surface in the last 5 years.
We hear a lot about executive coaching, and I would think that some of the time it's people who want somebody who's really savvy about what happens in corporate boardrooms, and some of the time it's people who neglected their marriage, having some interpersonal problems, feeling lonely at the top. What do you say to them?
Again, there's a variety of different approaches to coaching, and some of it is about finding balance, and actually health coaches can fit that role as well, working with the individual. If what they're looking for is that balanced lifestyle and looking to keep their relationships in place, health coaching can be a way to do that. If they're strictly looking for that executive coaching, mentoring them from a business executive point of view, how to stay calm and together in the boardroom, then you're looking at a different type of coaching for that.
So when they bring that problem to you, you're going to ask them a few questions to tease out exactly what their needs are.
Absolutely. There is a process that we go through that clearly defines what exactly the individual is looking for with goal setting. But before we even get into the goal setting, the first conversation is really to delineate why they're calling a coach in the first place. So if I had someone calling me up who was talking about developing their skills in the boardroom as an executive, I'd be referring them on to a different type of coach. If they're calling me about looking for how to reduce their stress in their life, how to find better balance, perhaps even how to stop some negative habits that they might have, such as smoking, or if they're looking to lose weight. If they're looking simply to improve their eating habits, even if they don't have to lose weight, all those fall into the category of health coaching.
What if somebody came to you and said, Judith, I'll be honest with you, I'm a mess. My marriage is falling apart. I'm depressed, but I'm not going to go to a shrink. I still want someone to help me and treat me like a client instead of a patient.
Well, that one's going to be a bit of a challenge, I'll admit to you, for sure. What we may want to do is take a session and do a little bit of goal and objective setting around that. At the end of the day, though, if, in my opinion, this person was better off with a counselor, you had mentioned depression. Health coaches are not counselors. Health coaches are advocates for you. They help you find your way to the solution. So they're not someone you come to for a quick fix, nor are they someone you come to for any kind of particular counseling. There's a very clear line between medical treatment and health coaching.
Now, you mentioned style a few minutes ago. Back in the 1950s, Carl Rogers was very popular as a psychotherapist, and you would say, Dr. Rogers, I'm feeling very depressed and just can't seem to get out of bed in the morning. And he would say, so you're feeling really depressed and like you can't even get out of bed in the morning. And yeah, that's it, Doc. You really understand me. Would you rather be coached by Carl Rogers or by Dr. Phil?
Well, that's an interesting question that I can't say that I've actually put any thought to it. I think my own personal philosophy would be, I believe in accountability. And I think from that perspective, Dr. Phil probably fits that criteria more. And that's what, from my perspective, coaching is all about. It's all about bringing around a relationship where an individual has someone to be accountable. Because the reality is, typically in most people's environment, some of the challenges they face when they decide, let's say they decide they want to lose weight, they don't have a support network. Because usually the people who love them and care for them don't want to take the hard line and, of course, say, oh, well, it's okay if you have that piece of cheesecake or whatever the item may be that's enticing them that day. The coach keeps you accountable because each time you meet with your coach, you set a plan and you set up an intention, and here's what I'm going to accomplish. And you're going to have a conversation with that coach either 1 week or 2 weeks later, and the expectation is that you all have met that goal and objective. And so it's someone, a third party, kind of helping you toe the line and keeping you accountable.
Within that style, there are some people who may chafe at a Dr. Phil being so directive and even aggressive. Can you have accountability with still having somebody who is very warm and supportive and hand-holding?
Absolutely, you can. Again, that becomes somewhat of personalities, and as well as the coach will adapt to the individual they're coaching. Part of the criteria that I go through with individuals, I actually ask them that question. I ask them, how would they like to be coached? Would they like the softer approach, that we talk things through more, or do they want me to take the hard line with them? So I can adjust my style to suit the individual that I'm coaching.
If I say, Judith, I've got diabetes, I'm having difficulty keeping under control, what are you going to do with me?
Well, the first thing, I'll just walk you through a little bit of our process. The first thing we do is I have a complete questionnaire that everyone must fill out that gives a bit of a background on what their medical and health situation is. Not in-depth medical history, but certainly just if they have particular medical concerns. And for example, diabetes is one of the ones that would show up. From there, what I want from them is actually a collaboration with their medical practitioner. So I do have, basically, it's an approval form that I ask them to take to their medical practitioner so that that person knows that they're being coached and we can build a collaborative relationship. Now, it doesn't mean that I get into interaction with the medical practitioner, but we certainly know in today's healthcare that physicians and nurses just don't have the time to be spending with their clients, with their patients, to teach them any kind of preventative healthcare or to be teaching them how to handle the disease process that they might be facing. And this is one of the places that health coaches can certainly help out. In fact, in some of my most recent research, I'm starting to notice that there are some medical clinics and doctors are actually starting to bring health coaches on into their own practice so that they can offer that to their patients, because they recognize that they don't have the time to be spending with the individual patients and teaching them all of the areas that they need to know about.
Part of your background is that you're a nurse.
That's correct.
So I would feel very comfortable presenting a problem like diabetes to you. Are all the health coaches knowledgeable about medical issues and health issues?
Not all health coaches have a medical background. What I'm finding is attracting people, though, who have what I call a bucket of skills. They come from a variety of backgrounds and have a very sincere interest in health and are bringing those skills to the table. Again, there is a clear delineation between offering medical advice and being a health coach. And actually, sometimes with a medical background, that's something you have to be very cautious of, because it's easier to cross that line than for someone who does not have a medical background. So again, it's helping the person find their way to their solution. And I encourage people to only talk to their health coach about their background. We have people in health coaching with medical backgrounds. We have chiropractors, massage therapists, physiotherapists, doctors who are taking the program. And then we have a lot of people are attracted to it who have been teachers or been in other kind of service-oriented backgrounds or businesses and have retired from that particular area and bringing their skills into the coaching world and have specialized in health coaching. Helping someone to stop smoking doesn't require any kind of medical knowledge.
A friend of mine, Ben Dean, actually he started off coaching people who were all but dissertation and just couldn't seem to get that dissertation done, and expanded into a whole coaching training program which only uses social workers, psychologists, people like that. I feel a little uncomfortable about people who don't have much of a background. I see an awful lot of people who, well, I got burned out in law, so I'm going to be a coach. I took a crash course and bring it on. On the other hand, I do feel okay when people follow carefully thought out protocols that make sure they don't go beyond what they're capable of handling. Can you speak to what kind of protocols coaches may or may not follow?
We have in our program that we provide, we certainly have very clear protocols. In fact, it's one area of the coaching program that we spend a fair bit of time on in making sure people understand what the coaching relationship, so people who are training to be coaches, need to clearly understand where the lines are and where they don't cross. And that includes the filling out of the information form that I mentioned earlier that gives you a clear idea of a portion of medical history, not in detail, but if that person has any issues with chronic long-term health concerns, and the collaboration of the professional physician or whoever their medical practitioner is. They may go to a naturopath as well. And it's essential. That is actually part of our program. Basically, they're not allowed to be practicing as a coach unless they have done those. So we set that out as very clear criteria that this is a requirement. So sometimes healthcare professional will actually be in touch with the coach to find out exactly what their program is so that they have a better idea of what it is. In the process, if we run into anything that we believe is of a medical nature or crossing those health lines, my practice is simply to refer them back to their medical practitioner, whether it be their physician or naturopath, to have that cared for or dealt with, or that even that question answered in that department. It's not questions that I'm going to assist the individual with.
I hadn't thought of that before, that this fits very well with people who are emphasizing alternative healthcare practitioners as opposed to conventional medicine. There's probably a much greater comfort level there.
Yes, but I'm seeing a growth in certainly both areas. As I mentioned in my research, I am finding health coaches are starting to work in physicians' offices.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically to fulfill that role of helping the person, especially a newly diagnosed someone with diabetes or chronic fatigue syndrome. It helps to provide an opportunity and service for that individual to get a person who can help them work out what's going to work best for them.
our disease care system has just totally dropped the ball in that at least 60% of the people seeing a doctor have more psychological problems or lifestyle problems than they do medical problems. A lot of diabetes can be cleared up with healthier eating and exercise and lifestyle. A lot of depression is going to respond better to cognitive therapy than Prozac, and on it goes. It's long overdue to get therapists and coaches in the doctor's offices.
I totally agree with you and comment about, you know, where our society is and has come from. And we have gotten to a place where everyone's looking for a fix and not recognizing it, that their own lifestyle and own habits have put them in the situation that they're in quite often. And looking at statistics these days, it's getting pretty scary what's happening out there in healthcare, mainly related to a lot of the foods we're eating, a lot of the things we're exposed to. I mean, 6.2 million Americans have diabetes, and many of those undiagnosed. Just looking at the growth of heart disease that people have and don't know it. We're looking at a huge issue when we look at healthcare today. I definitely agree that we're in a crisis place just with cost skyrocketing. And just think about the relationships people have with their doctors. It used to be, you know, you had the doc who came to your house and knew your whole family. Well, that doesn't exist anymore. So I think it's a really positive step that doctors are bringing in health coaches, because they can establish a similar style of relationship by having a health coach available and working with that individual as they find out what works for them to help them manage, whether it be a disease process or simply changing some of their lifestyle habits that they need to improve so that they can live a healthier life.
And part of what goes on with therapy or coaching is that, as you said, we want that pill, we want that instant fix, we don't want to do the work, and the therapist or the coach kind of charms us or gets us to see a path where we can do it anyway, and then, as you said, holds you accountable.
Exactly. The coach helps you set up that plan, because each individual in reality is very different. Some people can decide today, okay, I'm going to exercise 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week, and actually fulfill that. But I would say the highest majority, that's too big a bite. Mm-hmm. That's way too big a change in what they've currently been doing for them to be consistent with that. And so that's where the role of a health coach comes in, because a coach also brings them back to reality. A coach will actually challenge an individual who says, okay, my goal is I'm working out 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week, and I'm going to run every day. And a coach will actually challenge them on taking a hard look. Is that real? Is that really going to be the thing that works for you? And are you really going to be able to fulfill that if you start there?
You and I are very much on the same page in that, which is why I named my second book, 52 Baby Steps to Grow Young, to get people to take just the little tweaks that, like compound interest, really add up over time.
I'm delighted to hear, actually, that you have that book, because that's a perfect scenario and perfect example of coaching. One of the things in our coaching program we have is we call it baby steps, because sometimes people can take a small step. And I can give you just an example of an individual that I was coaching, and she decided what she wanted to do was increase her exercise and start moving toward improving her fitness level before we addressed eating or any of that. And when we sat down and really honed in, her very first step was parking, three parking spots further away from her workplace. That was it. But you know what? Each week we built on that. So then we started adding walking up one flight of stairs to her office instead of taking the elevator. But you're right, it's like compound interest. Each one of those little steps starts to build on each other and has significant impact when you start totaling it up.
Sometimes you get a commitment to do some little baby step that's more work for them to argue about how they can't do it than it is just say, okay, I'll do it.
Sometimes. However, the whole objective is to get to a solution that the individual comes up with rather than the coach. And that's not saying the coach don't make suggestions. They certainly do. But the first step is having the individual find something that works for them. If finding something they like as well. When you're looking at exercise, one of the key things in success is finding an exercise the person enjoys.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't stand the treadmill, you're not going to stick to it. But you may love going out for walks in nature, or you may like yoga instead of aerobics. It's finding what that match is that works for the individual.
Yeah, exercise is a great example. You really need to ask yourself a lot of questions like, am I more likely to exercise when I'm with people or by myself, with a videotape or just doing it, putting on soothing music, and what really works for me and what's really practical for me?
Yes, and that's something that often people just kind of leap to the conclusion, oh, I need to go to the gym. Well, that might work for you, but if, as you pointed out, if you're a person who doesn't like to exercise in front of other people, that's not going to work for you. And you need to look at what are your alternatives and what other things can you be doing and still getting that good balance of exercise to improve fitness levels.
I'd be willing to bet that half of the people with fitness centers and gym memberships don't go there more than four times a year, and it's usually in January.
Yes, it usually. I think they have an upsurge of memberships in January after Christmas and, of course, the famous New Year's resolution.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with health and wellness coach Judith Gilchrist. She does coaching and also training. The website for her training program is healthcoachtraining.com/Judith. That's healthcoachtraining.com/Judith, and that will also be on the Ageless Lifestyles website. Judith, you've got a training seminar coming up in October?
Yes, we do. We actually offer a free class for people to attend just to find out a little bit about what health coach training is all about. And in that class, they actually get a coaching lesson, so they will actually learn a specific model of coaching through that one-hour class, just to give them a taste and a feel for what health coaching and coaching itself in that genre or environment would be like. And for anyone who's looking at a career change or has a real passion for helping people in the healthcare industry, this is certainly might be an opportunity for them to consider. And if they go to your website, theagelesslifestyle.com, there's actually a live link there. I believe it's www.healthteleclass.com with a /special on it. If they look for that, they can just go to that link and sign up to listen to the class. No obligation at all.
You also are associated with a group that does a lot of free teleseminars on health topics. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, we are. We offer three different platforms for teleclasses. We have experts, motivational speakers on those platforms, and I'm delighted to say that Dr. Bricky is one of our guests in October for that particular platform. If they go to healthteleclass.com, they can sign up for your speaking engagement, which is on October 14th. And I do suggest that people register early so that they can get what I call their virtual seat for that particular class. And again, that's also at no cost to the individual. So we're very proud to be able to offer this to people and get to hear experts like yourself speak on particular topics.
These are podcasts that people can download.
The teleclasses are actually live only because they can be interactive. If the speaker chooses, they can open it up for questions. And then when we have our speakers back again, often they'll have a different topic or something different that they're speaking about.
Good. Let's get to our guest client.
Okay.
Hello, Darren speaking.
Hi, Darren. Mike Bricky here. Let me get Judith on the line, too.
Hi,
great.
Darren.
Hi, Judith.
How are you today?
I'm good.
That's good.
So, Darren, why did you seek coaching?
Well, I had put on a lot of weight over the last couple of years, and I was feeling a lot of fatigue and just not very healthy. And I decided that I wanted to start doing something about it, but I didn't really know how. So I'd heard of coaching before, and through one of the seminars that I'd been to, I was referred to Judith. And from that point, we basically started talking about my goals.
And then what happened?
From that point, we basically went through a questionnaire. Like, Judith set me up with a whole bunch of different questions that she wanted me to fill out. And then I took it to I basically went to a family doc and spoke with him and said, you know, does this make sense to you? Is this something that I can do right now? And he gave me the A-OK. And then I went off and decided to move ahead with the health coaching.
What was the goal that you came up with?
Basically, over a year, we were going to remove 20 pounds of excess body weight. The real impetus for that was basically to raise my energy by at least 50%.
And what was it that the coaching did that you wouldn't have been able to do yourself?
A lot of the combinations. At first, before we got into the nutrition, we just literally started the nutrition very recently, about a week ago. We started basically gradually getting my body ready for exercise. I know that sounds a little strange because, you know, you'd think that we would all need exercise and it just works okay. But I just was in such bad shape that Judith suggested that I go incrementally and start off with a walk around the block, you know, and that was completely fine. Go for 2 blocks, 3 blocks, and eventually, you know, I ended up signing up about a month ago for a 5K running training clinic.
Wow.
So we basically do 5 minutes on, 5 minutes off, sort of running and walking, and building up to the point where we can run for about 25 minutes straight. So by the end of the 10 weeks, that's the goal.
So you had a problem where you didn't know where to start, and it needed to be broken down into a sequence that would work as opposed to just start exercising. What's the problem?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's very easy to have the big goal in mind, you know, lose 20 pounds. The hard goal is 20 pounds is 20 times 1 pound. So basically, you want to lose 1 pound, you know, and then repeat it 20 times. And I know that sounds obvious when I'm saying it, but it's not so obvious. 20 pounds sounds like a lot of weight, and it's a really scary thing when you can't even imagine, you know, losing 5 pounds, never mind 20. So basically, you know, Judith was like, look, little steps, we're going to get you eating properly, we're going to get you exercising, and you're going to see, you know, a pound, 20 times, there you go, that's 20 pounds. And she did something really interesting with me that the first day that it blew my mind. We were talking, and she says to me, I want you to hold this for a minute. And she hands me a 20-pound dumbbell, and I'm, like, holding it. And we're talking, and I'm like, can I put this down? She's like, no. Like, what do you mean, no? She says, that's what you're carrying around every day.
Mm-hmm.
And realizing how heavy 20 pounds is, and that's the kind of strain that I'm putting on my body, she's like, would you be tired carrying this around every day? I said, yeah. She's like, you are. And I said, holy cow. You're absolutely right. No wonder why I'm exhausted. I'm carrying around 20 pounds. So that was a really good visualization for me. And being able to see it and really be clear on what it is that I'm actually carrying around with me, it gave me a lot more motivation.
So what I'm hearing is that we get in the same patterns of thinking and need somebody with a different perspective on it, different metaphors, different visual images. So part of it was breaking it down. Part of it was this different perspective and different way of seeing it. I gather part of it was the accountability.
Oh, I think accountability for me was huge. You know, just knowing that at least every week I'd have 2 check-ins with Judith and she'd be, you know, basically going through everything with me. How's everything going? And there's times I drop the ball, you know. I didn't do my exercise, you know, maybe a couple of days a week that I really, it was on my program, but I didn't do it. And she's like, look, you know, I'm not going to scream and yell at you because you know that this is for you. And I went, wow. There was no guilt involved. It was really nurturing support. And that I think enabled me to continue with it versus abandoning it, but I have, you know, God knows how many exercise things I've tried before.
How important was it to you to have somebody who cared and was nurturing and encouraging you?
I think that was the most important to me. In past times where I've you know, gone to gyms and that, it always seems like there's a bit of condescendingness. And it's not about caring. It's not about, you know, it's not about how great you can be. It's about, hey, you know, you dropped it. That's no problem. Guess what? You can just reach down and pick it back up. And that was something that time and time again, every time something that I felt a little bit, you know, I felt guilty. I didn't want to call her. And all of a sudden it was like, oh, wow. You know, and instead of like feeling worse after the phone call, I felt better. And I was like, great. And I went right back into it.
Were you saying that the gym was patronizing?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times, you know, you're dealing with instructors that are typically, you know, mid-20s, early 30s, and they'll look at you and be like, how could you, you know, how could you have let yourself get like this kind
mm-hmm.
of? And it's difficult. You know, it's really difficult.
Yeah, they're choosing their career because they love being fit, love being at their peak and sharing that, and it's like there's a gap there.
For sure. That was the one thing I absolutely loved about dealing with Judith, is that there's always positive, nurturing support, and I never for even a split second felt any kind of contempt or condescension, and that just made all the difference.
So you've been doing the coaching how long?
We started about, I want to say 6 months ago, but actively about 3 months ago. So we basically had our first consultation, and I took my time getting to a doctor. So once I actually got back to Judith, we've been basically building up the exercise regime now for about 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And once that got to the point where we're at right now, we just started last week in doing the nutrition. And that place, if you're doing exercise every day, that's great. If you're eating 2 ice creams a day, that's not so good.
So you were reluctant and kind of dragging your feet for 3 months, and then you really got in gear.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very easy for me to come up with excuses, you know. Oh, I was busy, but really, at the end of the day, I was nervous. I was nervous about the change that I would go through, because I'm very comfortable with, you know, who I've been.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know exactly who it is that I'm going to be. A lot of the conversations I had with Judith in the beginning were basically starting to train my mind to picture the person that I'm developing into versus continuing with the person that I already was.
What is the person that you're developing into?
Somebody who's confident and active. Somebody who's, I guess I was leading a sedentary lifestyle before.
Mm-hmm.
And now, because I have more energy and because I have, you know, more physical ability, I'm doing a lot of things that I wouldn't before. You know, I went for a bike ride on Lachine Canal a couple of weeks ago. So I'm getting out more. I'm meeting more people, feeling more confident because, you know, I can actually go and do stuff versus feeling bad and, you know, staying in front of the computer or watching TV.
Now, in case somebody is having difficulty appreciating this distinction, let me give an example. I've seen an awful lot of women who were quite overweight, and when they started losing the weight, men started paying more attention to them. They felt very uncomfortable about that, didn't have the skills to handle that because they hadn't had that issue before. And so there was a lot of ambivalence about, I don't know if I'm ready to go there. So you had something kind of analogous to that.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously, you know, it's not like I have a whole bunch of men coming after me right now. But
well, maybe the women, but
you know, yeah, I'm definitely getting more attention from women now. You know, they'll look at me versus not. And yeah, it's definitely a strange thing because I haven't been socialized at this point to deal with that. You know, I don't know how to act. That was a big part of those 3 months of getting there and basically talking about it and saying, look, just like you can lose, you know, a pound at a time, you can also gain that self-awareness and that confidence a little bit at a time. It's the same thing. It's not going to happen immediately.
And people might expect more of you, want you to take leadership roles, get on committees.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I haven't given a speech in 20 years. I don't know if I'm up to this.
Exactly. Actually, you know what? It's funny you said that. Last week, for the first time in my life, I went to Toastmasters and spoke.
Oh.
I went as a guest, and I was basically sitting in, and they said, would you like to speak? I said, sure. I actually ended up winning the table topics.
Way to go, Darren.
Yep, I have the ribbon and everything.
I'm a huge Toastmaster fan. I've been doing it for probably about 15 years, and
I hate
to miss a meeting. Judith, from your perspective, what was it like coaching Darren?
Well, actually, I would probably class Darren as one of my ideal clients, recognizing that there was that initial reluctance, and that does happen. Sometimes it does take a little bit of time to get someone moving forward, but certainly once we began the coaching relationship in earnest, he was really willing to be forthcoming. I mean, he was the process of getting to his goals was interesting because we used a couple of processes. One of them is what I call the health and wellness wheel, and it just helps us divine about 8 different areas in his life and what they look like right now. And from that, he was able to decide his priorities. And it came down to 2, actually. We had the nutrition as well as the fitness, and it was Darren's choice to decide to move toward the fitness and exercise part first to accomplish that increase in energy, and then move into the nutrition portion, or really it's about eating habits more than kind of a combination. And as he mentioned, we've just started looking at that last week. So again, you start breaking that down into what the goals are, and part of it is looking at what you're doing right now. Darren was very willing to do that. He was quite forthcoming and willing to say, this is what I've been doing right now. And so one of the things as part of the eating habits is actually doing a diet diary, just to get a perspective on what exactly it is you're eating every day and at what time.
It's very scary. You know, it's not so bad when you have something once a day, but when you see at the end of the month, you know, you've got 12 of the same thing, you know, in a week, you're like, uh-oh.
Yeah, the recycling bin keeps taking out those Domino's boxes. if you let them stack up, it would make a visual image.
Absolutely.
Well, the one thing we're all very good at saying, oh, well, I can just do this once. Well, if in the reality, if it was just once, that'd be fine. But if you're doing, well, I could just do this once, and you're doing the same just once every second day, like we were talking about earlier, Dr. Bricky, small steps add up. Well, so do small just onces add up.
Mm-hmm. So, Darren, it's been 3 months of active coaching. You've seen self-image changes. You've seen social changes. We even got you in Toastmasters. What kind of difference have you seen in weight and physical fitness?
Physical fitness, I'm a lot more fit. I mean, actually, as we're speaking right now, I'm working with my brother. We're loading up all the debris that he's been doing renovations on his condominium. And he's very eco-minded, so we're bringing all of it to the eco-center so they can recycle the debris. And we're literally loading up an entire box van, like a cube, you know, 16 feet long, full of debris.
Mm-hmm.
And as you and I are speaking, there's about 12 inches left at the back, at the front of the truck, or sorry, at the back, like right where the door is. So yeah, definitely physical energy and strength, stamina, much, much, much better, because I don't think I would have made it halfway through this.
Darren, thank you so much for sharing your experience. I think it's much more real than Judith and I just talking about principles. And congratulations on your success.
Dr. Brickley, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Maybe we'll meet sometime in a Toastmaster contest.
That would be great.
Okay.
Bye, Judith.
Bye.
Judith, the wheel, is that something that you could share with our listeners and have them do as, you know, right now?
Well, yeah, I guess I could. It's actually one of the models that they would learn on our class that we do offer. But simply put, what the health and wellness wheel is you draw yourself a circle and then divide it into, like a pizza pie, into 8 slices. So here we are talking about food, and I'm giving you an analogy to a pizza. But you divide that circle into about 8 slices, and then you choose categories that you might want to look at in your health and wellness lifestyle. So one could be nutrition. One might be supplements. One would be exercise. One could be water. One could be stress. One could be sleep, how much sleep you're getting. And just take those 8 categories in those pies, and then in each category, what you do is rate yourself. So 0 would be the center of the circle, so where all of the pizza pies intersect in the middle, with 10 being the outer rim of the wheel, and go around and rate yourself in each one. So, for example, in sleep, let's say you weren't getting very much sleep, and you thought, oh, well, I'm only a 3 there. So you just put your little dot at about what you think would be a 3 out in the middle of that angular section. and go around and do that. And then what you do is connect the dots. And what you're going to end up with is an extremely irregular wheel.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about that, if that wheel was on your car, would you have a very smooth ride? Well, not particularly. So if you've got that kind of a bumpy ride for your own health, then it's something you need to look at. And from there, and that's exactly what I did with Darren, is when we were looking at what area he wanted to start in, you know, he was looking at his rating of eating habits and his rating of exercise. They were pretty similar. They weren't at a 10, that's for sure, and they were pretty similar. So we had to do a little bit further investigation to have him decide which one he wanted to start with first. Certainly from my experience, eating habits and exercise do go hand in hand quite frequently, and it's up to the client which one that they want to start with first. And for Darren, it worked out well that he started with the exercise because it boosted his energy. And I think he's being a little hard on himself talking about his poor eating habits, because just naturally over the 3 months,
mm-hmm.
his eating habits started to shift a little bit in the right direction, just because his body was responding to the new energy and exercise that he was doing.
So with the wheel, people usually focus on the weakest area or the weakest link, because that's what breaks the chain, to use another metaphor.
Well, sometimes, although that's not always the case, is where they set their priorities, because, you know, some people want to make a change, especially when it comes to weight. Weight seems to be one of the biggest ones, because that's all gets into the whole area of self-image and how we look, and as well as how we feel and how we can, as Darren pointed out, carrying around that extra 20 pounds can have an impact on our energy and our ability to participate in certain things. So it's not always the choice. As I've had clients who we've chosen to look at either the nutrition or the exercise who've been sleeping poorly. Well, when they started eating better and getting better exercise, their sleeping started to improve all on its own.
So you're also looking at the cause and effect chain.
Exactly. So there's all of these things interplay and affect each other. Nothing is a standalone.
And just to make sure I understood the wheel, they're not set categories. They're categories that you come up with yourself?
You come up with those with the client, because the idea is you want to look at the 8 areas the client is specifically interested. Now, certainly I have categories that I can help people out if they get stuck, don't think they have 8. We can certainly help them with choosing those particular categories. But the whole idea is to come up with the areas of concern that the client has.
We've been talking with health and wellness coach Judith Gilchrist. She does both coaching and is also a coach trainer. The website for it is healthcoachtraining.com/Judith. Again, that's healthcoachtraining.com/Judith. And all these links that I'm talking about are on agelesslifestyles.com. And tell us again about your seminar coming up in October.
On October 1st, we actually have a special seminar. It's a one-hour teleclass that people can sign up for and register at no charge to hear about health coach training and what it's all about. They will do the wheel a little more in-depth than we've spoke about here. There will actually be a coaching session live on it so they can hear how a coaching session would go. And they will find out a little bit more about our health coach training program and what it all offers. And certainly health coaching is a very broad area of practice for anyone who is interested in becoming a coach. There's all kinds of specialty areas that coaches get into. One of the areas that's particularly growing is in corporate America. There's a lot of corporations now hiring health coaches to be part of their employment team and helping their employees. Now, part of that, of course, part of that drive is related to bottom line because of the skyrocketing cost mm-hmm. of health care in that area. But it's really having an impact there. There's different corporations offering what I think are quite phenomenally new ideas with their health coaches on staff. They're really helping employees take a hard look at their lifestyles and making changes. In fact, one of the most interesting things I came across was there are now actually corporations in their cafeteria are charging a higher price for the fatty foods, and in turn, that is subsidizing the healthy foods. So they're having available cut-up fruits and salads and more things that are much healthier, fruits, vegetables. So we make the fatty food choices. It's making it, you know, they're charging for it. I was reading an article, they call it Twinkie Tax on their food.
And I'm delighted to hear how involved corporate America is getting. And also let's mention the healthteleclass.com. for the free seminars, including the one that I'll be doing on October 14th, where I'll talk about the anti-aging ABCs, the attitudes, beliefs, and coping skills that help people live longer, healthier, and happier. So this is a good chance to get a good overview of my philosophy of what it takes to live to 150 and still be sharp mentally and physically.
Yes, I actually plan to be on that class. I'm very excited to hear that particular topic. It's interesting because I've always told my kids I'm going to live, I've chosen an age, 133. And again, for your listeners, that's www.healthteleclass.com. These are free teleseminars that you can attend and listen to experts each month. And Dr. Bricky is a guest on October the 14th. So please log in there and register early so that you can affirm that you have a virtual seat for that class.
Great. Well, Judith, thank you so much for sharing with us what's happening in coaching, and we'll meet again.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Bricky, for having me here. And again, I just encourage your listeners to pop onto your website at agelesslifestyles.com, where they will find the links to both the free health teleclass seminars as well as the special link to the health coach training program. And I encourage them to come listen to you on October the 14th as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
Right. Bye now.
Bye.
Commentary. Let me put coaching in perspective. In the 1980s, managed care started putting the squeeze on psychologists and other mental health therapists. Therapists and patients had to jump through hoops to get authorizations for services, and the paperwork became oppressive. The insurance reimbursement is often less today than it was 20 years ago, and that's not adjusted for inflation. To be fair, therapists often weren't cost-conscious about making therapy as efficient as possible, and often sought insurance compensation for sessions that were really more personal growth and enhancement than ameliorating a diagnosed condition. Now, while personal growth may have helped prevent stress and cardiac disease, it really wasn't covered in the insurance contract. A lot of therapists got out of the business or went into private pay practices. But baby boomers still had problems and also were very interested in personal growth. I mean, baby boomers is, it's about me, baby. This set the stage for coaching. It was refreshing to focus on growth as opposed to pathology, and to focus on the present and future instead of the archaeology of the past. Boomers appreciated being a client rather than a patient and not having to deal with the insurance companies. Coaching started popping up everywhere, as did coaching training programs. I had the pleasure of going through my friend Dr. Ben Dean's Mentor Coach Training Program, a program that's limited to credentialed psychologists, social workers, and counselors. The rule of thumb is that the lower the requirements for a training program, the more likely it is to emphasize using protocols that guide the coach in what to ask, how to proceed, and what to do when. I do have a lot of misgivings about people who don't have much background in behavioral sciences doing coaching, as they can easily get way over their head and can easily miss serious problems that require professional skills. So it's a buyer beware market. The International Coach Federation has credentialed more than 4,000 coaches. This provides some assurance of experience in training and coaching and ethics, but it's no guarantee. The lack of an ICF credential doesn't mean somebody isn't an exceptional coach. Like picking a doctor or a psychologist, some are a lot better than others, and there's no substitute for doing some homework on the particular individual. In effect, doing your own credentialing is more important than that minimum standard that the profession sets. As we saw in Darren's case, there are many ways in which coaching can help, including deciding on goals, determining how to achieve the goals, providing a different perspective in addressing blind spots in our thinking, the TLC and encouragement, and of course the accountability. Darren is a good example of someone who probably would not have been very successful in doing this on his own. For people with less complex problems, coaching can be just a case of hiring someone to care and to keep you accountable. I think it's very analogous to personal trainers. Most of us don't really have to have a personal trainer to get fit, but a lot of people are willing to pay to have a cheerleader and think it's money well spent. I know two men who built a whole coaching practice just on accountability. They're making a very good living just calling people and keeping them on task and meeting the goals that they set. If you are thinking about being a coach yourself, I would note that like many entrepreneurial ventures, a lot of people go through the training program, but then find they just don't have the skills or interest in marketing themselves. So they eventually drop out and move on to something else. Some professionals, like myself, do coaching as a small fraction of their other activities. It keeps our clinical skills sharp, and I personally really enjoy coaching. But I only have enough time for several clients. And personally, I would go nuts if I had to follow a school's coaching protocols, as they would really slow me down. After 40 years of doing rehabilitation counseling, drug and alcohol counseling, psychotherapy, group therapy, supervising therapists, creating and running an APA-approved internship program for psychologists, and the study involved in becoming board-certified in cognitive behavioral psychology, I see the patterns quickly and get right to the heart of the needs and the solutions. I don't take on clients who just need accountability or just need TLC. Rather, I like to focus on people who are serious about making major changes and major achievements. If that fits with your needs, feel free to give me a call and I'll see if I think I can help you and whether I have the time to take you on as a client. The phone number is on all my websites. Baby steps. In our effort to help you live longer and healthier and happier, I always try to give a little baby step that'll help you achieve that goal. Today, I'd like you to imagine that you decided to get a coach. Decide on the outcome that you would want that coach to help you with. Decide on the qualifications you would want for that coach. Decide on the kind of style you want. Do you want Dr. Rogers or do you want Dr. Phil or something else? Vividly see that coach in your mind's eye. Hear the coach's voice. Imagine what the coach would ask you and tell you. In short, see if you can coach yourself. Chances are, with a little imagination, you can do yourself a lot of good. And it'll be fun. Emails. As always, I love getting emails. Most of the emails about last week's show with futurist Michael Zay were from family therapists who were thrilled about how families extending 7 or 8 generations will make their work far more interesting and fill their schedules. Just kidding. Most of the emails were about how to find more information on brain implants and brain stimulation and increasing learning and memory and other optimal performance issues. Other than Dr. Zay's book, I don't have any information to pass on to you right now. As I see interesting new developments, I'll make a point to discuss them in the shows. One update. 2 weeks ago, Dr. Schimpf and I encouraged people over 50 to get a shingles vaccine. I read today that Merck hasn't been able to keep up with the demand and is running a couple months behind in getting the vaccine to doctors and clinics. Gee, I had no idea Ageless Lifestyles has such an impact on the marketplace. This is Dr. Michael Bricky on Ageless Lifestyles Radio. You can stream or download recent programs on webtalkradio.net. And all of the previous programs are on agelesslifestyles.com, along with brief descriptions of the shows and links that are mentioned on the shows. If you're interested in any of my services, the books and CDs, speaking services, my free newsletter, the Defy Aging newsletter, or my coaching services, you can just go to notaging.com, notaging.com, which will take you to whatever service you want. And until next week, this anti-aging psychologist, Dr. Michael Bricky, thanking you for joining us on our journey to live longer, healthier, and happier.